Well, that being said, we're gonna go right into the formal hearing portion of this evening's meeting. As I said, is the recorder on?
Yes.
Neely, we're ready to go there. I will provide you 3 to 5 minutes for make your testimony, and I moved over so that you can stand there. And our first presenter shows that Jane Anderson is the first presenter for testimony.
I own a farm 2.5 miles south of Perry.
Would you like to come up, please?
I would like to withhold my testimony to provide a written statement later, but I will yield my time to Mr. Parrott.
Mr. Parrott, you're up.
Does that mean I get 6 minutes?
Yes.
That means that when this happens, it's 8 minutes, whether it's 3 or 6.
Don't use this time, because I'm going to answer that guy's question, because he didn't get an answer. By luck, I fell onto a web page this morning in SWR Water Corp, 109 pages of water rights, and I printed them and didn't bring them. But anyway, that appears to be Twin Falls County and Area 47, which I'm very interested in. And I'm guessing there's a bunch more of those. And you got to click and see who's got what. What's their water right? That's where we're starting. Who claims, and that, you know, adjudication gave that through, I guess, the best process it could. But people lost water and they got water and they fought for water. And like the Times News said, okay, now we're in adjudication. We're going to have another court fight. We were fighting before, now we'll fight about different things. I'm Richard Parrott. My grant, I have to tell you background, or you think, wow, I wonder why he's not carrying a gun. I saw a guy in the co-op with one. But after that, I bought five axe handles to carry in the car in case that guy. Anyway, that's pretty graphic. I'm from the salmon tract. My granddad was, my dad was. There's a laugh. We got water approved from the Snake River in the 60s when that map was being created. I saw it as a, I was in the Navy then, I guess. But anyway, we got the water approved, and then Twin Falls wanted to fight us about putting it through the canal, and why shouldn't they? So we switched lawyers, and then Nixon canned the deal. So we thought we were going to get supplemental water on 20,000 acre salmon tract, which was built for 150,000 acres. And part of that's like in my backyard. And I love it that it's there. And probably a good thing we didn't get that approved, because the canals would be breaking up and we'd be fighting for water that, you know, was a late water right. I would ask the board, do you guys have a secure water right? I hope not. On the where I live, south of Salmon Track, or Highline Canal, Salmon Track's drier than hell. And the dairy decided they want to drill a well out there and take a lot of water. And two of their representatives, attorneys, are here. And so we don't want to try that case here. But I heard earlier in the meeting from somebody that knows what the hell's going on in the world, a manager of something, he said transfers are the weakness of the water plan. And the guy that worked for us, we spent $15,000 getting advice, said, he's from Boise, but he said, if there's 6 feet of water and 2 feet more come in, water board's going to give that to somebody, you know, even if it's for 6 weeks. Well, that's one point. I don't have anything more funny except that we probably, there's out of those 109 pages, none of them people came to this meeting. But they're screwed if somebody wants to drill a well down by their place, then they got to fight for it, spend $100,000, and the other side will spend $200,000 trying to get that water right for this much water. It's worth quite a bit. Yeah, it ain't worth nothing, apparently, from what I can tell, on the water bank. You know, it's a freebie almost. But I hope that I'll send some testimony in, and hope you don't ignore this because of that, whatever that is. Unappropriated, that was it, yeah. Here, enhance, use the unappropriated. Well, that's talking about that 2 feet of water that's only there a month. We need to get away from that idea. There's a place for it down the river, something. It produces power.
Thank you, Mr. Parrott.
Yeah.
Our next person testifying will be Pat McMahon. Pat, along with your name, would you give us your address as well?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman Chase, members of the board, and department staff for the opportunity to speak. My name is Pat McMahon. I'm the general manager of the Sun Valley Water and Sewer District, where I've been employed since 1989. I'm also on the advisory board of Water District 37 and the chairman of the Galena Groundwater District. And my point that I'd like to bring across is that we're talking about stewardship. The Galena Groundwater District, the Water District 37 are all dealing with righted water and the appropriation thereof. But what I have in the Wood River Valley, and is fairly common, I'd suggest that even as much as half of the population is operating under a domestic exemption, and which effectively, a domestic exemption is just that, it's an exemption from responsibility for withdrawals. And I think that there should be some action taken to at least control that to some level. And that's what I have.
Thank you, Pat.
Thank you.
Next on our list is Brian Woodhouse.
Thank you, Chairman and Board. My name is Brian Woodhouse, Magic Valley Fly Fishers. I live here in Twin Falls. I would like to request that the substantive part of my replies and input to the board will be in written form after this hearing, but I appreciate the opportunity to speak and express my views as a fly fisher, as a recreator in the state of Idaho. I appreciate the board attempting and being as far into the sustainability process as they are. It's an incredibly important thing for the state, and I really appreciate everybody putting in the kind of work they are. I also appreciate everybody listening to our kind of testimony. There's been requests that I put a lot into the testimony tonight for fisheries and recreational as well as commercial, and we have a huge, important resource that hasn't really, I don't think it's been adequately evaluated for what it does for the state of Idaho and for the West in general. But that has to be evaluated in a much more concise and quantitative as well as qualitative level, because recreation has a huge benefit to this state, as well as agriculture and aquaculture and everything else that water's used for. Oh, we drink it once in a while too. And I think that all of this has to be kept in perspective. The statements in here about coexisting, there's many, many excellent examples of groups who have been fighting each other in the litigation sorts of battles that were alluded to earlier, that have come together and have built, albeit on smaller scales in the state of Idaho, but there's some wonderful examples in eastern Idaho. Some of the gentlemen here know those chapter and verse. I don't. But what I do know is that everybody in the state of Idaho needs to come together on this thing, and we need to specify. And that's why one of my questions that I will put in written form, but on your bullets under your implementation strategies, inventory of Idaho's water supply, current uses, and future supply needs. Next bullet, evaluate long-term and short-term trends, water availability for present and future uses. Identify where present water supplies are either inadequate for present uses or not sustainable, and develop management plans to address and supply in an adequate time frame, respecting private property rights, respecting everybody's rights as well as property rights. If those aren't defined, you know, the devil's always in the details. And if we don't have those fleshed out, we're going to be pointing fingers, a lot of directions, and we want to mediate and not litigate. We want to get things that are hanging in the trees locked down a little bit. I know I got a lot of my flies hanging in the trees, and that's not where I want the water plant, you know? So, bottom line is, I would like to be able to go on your website or go somewhere and get exact detail on where we stand with some of these evaluations. You can't evaluate something unless you know what you're evaluating. If you don't have lists of what the uses are in a watershed, then you can't allocate the water, period. You know, you got to know where it's going. And there's people that have had water rights that go back hundreds of years in here. They can't have the plug pulled on them. But recreation can't have the plug pulled on it and have the, all the streams dry up either for 2 months out of the year and then wonder why the fish don't come back. So there's just a lot of detail that needs to be worked out. And I think this is the kind of first step that we need to see. And having a sit around the table dialogue on it is what's made the Henry Fork Foundation and many of the other programs like that so successful around in the West here and have really bolstered these important resources for everybody's use. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next testimony will be from Brian Olmstead.
Brian Olmstead, I live south of Twin Falls. I'm a fourth-generation farmer, but I don't farm anymore. I watch actually Albert Lockwood farm my farm, and I like doing that. I'm the general manager of Twin Falls Canal Company. I actually took over for Vince 8 years ago, and I really support this sustainability policy. To tell you the truth, this is the first time I've been optimistic about the future of water in Idaho since I started working for the Canal Company 17 years ago, and probably even before that, because you know, farmers, we could see where the water in Idaho was heading, and it was heading towards an overallocation. You know, this policy doesn't mean that we've solved the problems. It means that we're on a path. There's a lot of hard work still to do. The fighting's probably not done, but I feel like for the first time we're all paddling in the same direction. And by everybody, I mean the farmers, groundwater users, surface water users, the cities, I think, are generally supporting this. The legislature, you know, really put their money where their mouth is. They're supporting sustainability. The Water Resource Board, a lot of hard work. Neely and the Department of Water Resources, I really feel like everybody is going to support this policy, and we're going to see it through. Twin Falls Canal Company is probably the largest user largest consumer of water on the Eastern Snake Plain Aquifer and on the Snake River. And by consume, I mean we grow more crops than any other individual user on the Snake Plain, and that's the way we consume the water and produce hundreds of millions of dollars worth of crop with it, and all the industries and the cities that have developed here in the Magic Valley. So really important uses. I totally agree. Recreation and other uses are important too. The river is a resource for the whole state. Agriculture built an awful lot of what we've got here, and we need to really protect it. Now, our water rights are I.B. Prime filed for in 1900, and we filed on 3,000 cubic feet per second going by here in the Snake River. And what he really filed on, because the above Blackfoot, the Snake River was already fully allocated. So what Mr. Pryan filed on was the floodwaters that come over the past couple of months, generally May and June, and then the springs that come out in the American Falls Reach, which historically have been in the 2,000 CFS range. So if you look at our water right, we divert about a million acre feet per year. About half of that comes from the springs in the ESPA. The rest of it, we have about 250,000 acre feet of storage in the Jackson Lake and American Falls, and then almost half of our water comes from those springs that come out of the ESPA. So the water rights are really important. They have been declining. You know, this the water calls and everything were very tough, but it had to be done. I think the water rights have been established. I think everybody realizes it's a declining resource. We can't let it continue to do that. And of course, everybody's in support of the recharge. You know, that's the way the nature put the water into that aquifer. Nature doesn't put in as much as we take out. We're going to have to probably take out less, and all the agreements tell us that. But also, in addition to taking out less, we got to put more in, and that's the board and the state's policy of doing all the recharge we possibly can. Idaho has, 9 inches of precip per year is a drought, 12 inches is a flood. We get some of both of those. That's a real small difference, but it's a big difference if we can balance it out. So we get the big years, we got to put more in, because we can't put more in the small years. The sustainability policy, I think the good thing about it, we're managing for the long term. The mitigation type of management, where if you're injured in a drought year, you get mitigated for. Well, that does nothing for the aquifer. So sustainability means we manage the aquifer every year, in the good years and the bad years, and manage it not in one-year cycles, but in 10 or 15 or 50-year cycles. So I think everybody's looking into the future, and a lot of hard work, but I'm committed to doing it. I think a lot of other water users in Idaho are also.
Thank you, Brian. Our next person to testify is Harold Moman.
Thanks, Roger and the board. Appreciate this time to be able to give a little bit of history on A&B irrigation. My name's Harold Moman. I'm a retired farmer, but I am a chairman of A&B Irrigation District in Rupert, Idaho. A&B is a district that consists of about 610 acres. We pump not only from the ground, but we get water from the river. Most of our water rights, most of our land is on deep well, which is we pump about 61,000 acre feet every year to water our lands on the deep wells. We use about 175,000 acre feet out of the river to water lands that are that come off of the river. We have storage rights in Palisades and American Falls, and those storage rights range from 1929 to 1939. Our groundwater rights are 1948 water rights, which is some of the junior or senior water rights on the plain. So to me, the sustainability of those water rights means a lot to A&B, because not only do we get the use of the aquifer, we also get use of the water that comes out in the springs, because we do have some natural flow rights, but they're later ones than Brian Olmsted was saying, because our natural flow rights are 1955 rights. This year in our spring readings of the drawdown in the aquifer was about 1 foot from last year. So we've lost another foot in the aquifer this year. In the last 30 years, we've lost over 20 feet in the aquifer out on the A&B project, which is mighty concerning for our farmers out there. Now, A&B isn't just one that goes out there and pumps water haphazardly. We have a policy within our district that allows that each farmer can get 3 acre feet on his lands. So that means if you pump more than 3 acre feet, you get basically a fine, or you have to pay more for the 4th acre feet. If you go more than that, you have to pay 5. So we've been trying to limit our farmers to what they can raise out there. Well, as you know, farmers are very innovative on how they can raise crops. So they have gone from flood to wheel lines to pivots. So in the process of losing this much water, A&B proceeded on a new project this year that put in 19 miles of pipe, and we pump out of the river on our storage rights. That pipeline services 5,900 acres. 4,406 acres is basically to help with the surface water we already deliveries that we have. 1,478 acres is what we call soft conversions, and we will be shutting off some of our later water rights, which are 1994 water rights on the plain. So for a conservation for A and B. I am in full support of this sustainability policy that the board is putting out. It is something that over the 30 years that I've been on the board for A and B, I have not seen. It's been, you know, first guy there gets the water and everybody else fights for it. And that's kind of how we've run the system, I thought, over the last few years. Like Brian was saying, you know, we've come to a lot of agreements between surface water, groundwater users. If the aquifer is sustained, not only will we have better spring flows, but we will also be able to have better growth on the plain and better use of the water. One thing that was brought to my attention earlier was that, you know, we've always talked about in all of our plans that we've ever done, we've talked about how to cut water back for ag, cut water for this, give water to the fish, but we've never really looked at domestic water uses, because that has been the caveat of, oh, you don't want to touch that because you'll cause a firestorm. But most domestic users are allowed to use 13,000 gallons a day for use, or half an acre, basically. You know, maybe it's time that we also looked for sustainability, because now we're getting more and more people building individual houses out on the plain, and they're pumping water too. So the 13,000 gallons, I think, may be something that we need to look in this sustainability thing to help with the problem that we have. I am in full support of that. I appreciate the time, and thank you.
Thank you, Harold. The next gentleman to testify is John Lynn.
Mr. Chairman, the board members, I'd like to thank you for your efforts on this sustainability plan. I think you're heading in the right direction as a state. I believe we're also heading in the right direction. I personally support the framework that has been proposed, and I know my board does as well. My name is John Lind. I manage the Burley Irrigation District in Burley, Idaho. And our district consists of just under 48,000 acres in northern Cajun County, Burley and Declo areas. We also convey conversion water for Southwest Irrigation District and Magic Valley Groundwater District. As far as storage rights, we have 218,000 acre feet in storage in three different reservoirs. We also have fairly senior natural flow rights, 1903, 1908, 1909, and 1939. So I guess you could say that Burley Irrigation District has a pretty reliable and consistent source of water on a year-to-year basis. It takes a pretty exceptional year for us to start getting too wound up. And I realize that we may be the exception in the state. It might be easy for us to rest on our laurels a little bit and start getting comfortable and perhaps even not pay too much attention to other areas of the state, but we don't do that. There's a saying that I've heard quite a bit since taking over the management position at Burley Irrigation District, and we talk about a hydrologic connection between water sources, and that's accurate, but all of us, as people, as residents of southern Idaho, are hydrologically connected, whether it be surface water or groundwater. We're all in this together. And certainly, there's many demands on the resource. We all know that. Some of the things that the recent positive steps, in addition to the water plan that or the sustainability plan that you're working on, has been, I think, the widespread recognition that IDWR's aquifer level data is the best science we have. It's certainly not perfect. I don't think anybody would argue that it is. But it's certainly common ground for surface water users, groundwater pumpers, and cities and others that rely on the aquifer to really to fuel our economy. And so that recognition and the agreement last year between the Surface Water Coalition and IGWA are positive steps, among the positive steps that have been taking place. In the past 7 months, I've had an opportunity to visit some states in the United States that really deal with drought and are facing water issues that are much more serious than ours. I'm talking about places like Colorado, Arizona, California, and I'm not going to beat those issues to death, but I really feel like as Idahoans, we're getting ahead of that curve and waking up to the fact that if we don't take actions and really look at long-term sustainability, we're going to be behind the eight ball. Final example I'd like to give you is you can't get much further away from the Magic Valley than Australia. And in February, I had an opportunity to go on an educational tour of irrigation districts in Southeast Australia. You may or may not know that Australia has been through and has continued to work through a millennial drought. And that's kind of our worst nightmare as water managers, is going through a long cycle of drought. Australia had to take some pretty extreme steps. They seemed very extreme to us in response to this, and they really had to prioritize what was important. What were the real beneficial uses for their water? They prioritized agriculture, got ag what they needed, and they prioritized development. And the quick summary of this is the actions they took secured water for agriculture long term and has allowed development with a 50-year green light. So I realized that we are a long ways from Australia. Their issues are not identical to ours, but to the extent that we can look forward and be proactive in taking steps, making choices now that seem difficult, really help us long term. And sides that seem to be on opposite ends of the spectrum, like the Surface Water Coalition and IGWA, can work together and are working together. And we need to continue working together. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hunter. Is there anybody else? Those are the folks that have registered to testify. Is there anybody else that would like to testify? If not, I sincerely want to thank all of you for attending. I think this is the path forward on how we can better manage our water resources. And I particularly want to thank those of you that did testify, because the board will be taking your thoughts into consideration as we finalize on the sustainability policy. With that being said, we'll conclude the hearing. Thank you for coming again.